Hey ladies, if you are here for part two of my series about the 10 non-negotiable habits for weight loss, then you, my friend, are in the right place. So let's get into it, shall we? Do you want to lose weight, but you're so tired of starting over? Are you frustrated with yourself because you can't stay committed to your fitness goals? Do you wish you could stop the habits that you know are keeping you from reaching your goals? I'm LaDawn Hickman, a certified holistic nutrition weight loss and accountability coach, and I'm so glad you found me because I know what it's like to want to achieve your weight loss goals, but you can't seem to get there. Many of us think that if we only have more willpower or found the right diet that we can lose weight. I'm here to tell you that willpower isn't the answer to weight loss. The truth is that we have to shift our mindset about our relationship with ourselves and food. We then have to rework and rethink our habits to get our body in balance. I firmly believe the saying that we first make our habits and then our habits make us. When we focus on making changes in those areas, then our minds and bodies are working together and weight loss is simple. Now hold up, I didn't say it was easy, but it doesn't have to be complicated. So join me as we do a 180 and build some healthy habits together. Welcome back to the Healthy Habits 180 podcast. I'm your host, LaDawn Hickman, a certified holistic weight loss and accountability coach, and I am super pumped to bring you the second episode of this three-part series, my top 10 non-negotiable habits for weight loss. So I'm just going to jump right in because I know that you have things to do and you are probably multitasking just like I do when I listen to podcasts. So let's just get into it. In the last episode, the first three non-negotiable habits that I talked about were focusing on body recomposition and not just weight loss. I talked about the importance of knowing your macros for weight loss. And the third thing I talked about was prioritizing your protein. And if you missed it, don't worry, girl, I got you. I'll link the last episode in the show notes. So today, I am diving into habits 4, 5, and 6. All right, so let's talk about the fourth non-negotiable habit you need to build for weight loss, and that is eat your breakfast. And first, let me just say that breakfast is my favorite, and I mean my favorite meal of the day. And if I put priority on any meal, then it is breakfast. I try to make sure that I have all of the ingredients that I need. I try to set myself up for success when it comes to breakfast. And I like a sweet or a savory breakfast, but whatever it is, I have to make sure that it is full of flavor and that it keeps me satisfied and not craving 15 minutes later. And just in case you were wondering, yes, I love breakfast. Okay, but seriously, breakfast is where many of us, we miss the mark. We miss the mark when it comes to setting ourselves up for a good day as far as our energy levels, our protein needs, hormone balance, and the list goes on and on. You can do so many things right, or you can do so many things wrong when it comes to breakfast. Now, I'm not going to talk about the timing of your first meal because I don't want to spoil the next habit, but your first meal of the day, whatever time it is, it should be a nutrient-packed meal. You want to kickstart your day with a meal that has excellent sources of protein, healthy fats, and carbohydrates. Now, I've given an example of these in previous episodes, which I will link in the show notes. So for the sake of time, I won't go into all of the options, but in addition to protein, healthy fats, and carbs, I highly recommend that you add in good sources of fiber and some sort of fermented foods, if I can say fermented foods, to your first meal of the day. So let's get into fiber for a minute, but before I do, let me just clarify that it would be ideal to get all of these elements in every meal of the day. But let's just be real. Sometimes that is just a real challenge. But again, if you can work to kickstart your day so that your first meal has all of these elements that I'm going to talk about, then you are truly kickstarting your day. Okay, so back to fiber. Eating fiber-rich foods has so many benefits. These foods promote healthy digestion, they have antioxidants and vitamins, and they help with weight management by keeping you feeling fuller longer. Fiber adds bulk to your stool, making it easier to pass through the digestive system and preventing constipation. It helps to lower your blood sugar and your cholesterol levels. Like, why wouldn't you want to start your day with fiber? And I'm not just talking about the powder stuff that you add to water. I'm talking about foods, whole foods like avocados, which have 9 grams of fiber, by the way, and foods like raspberries and blackberries, passion fruit, lentils, chickpeas and pears and chia seeds. All of these foods are good sources of fiber, and you should consider adding them to your first meal of the day. Now let's get into fermented foods. These foods contain or are made with live active bacteria. And side note, I've been eating yogurt since probably my late teens, but it wasn't until one of my health and wellness certifications many years after I started eating yogurt that I learned about the active bacteria part. And initially, I will say I was put off by the term live bacteria, and I really didn't want to eat it anymore. But I realized and learned the importance of live, active, good bacteria. And there are many benefits. So let's get into the benefits of fermented food, because like fiber, there are many of them. And if you're like me, most of the time, we just think about yogurt. But there are so many fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi and kombucha and kefir and tempeh. They all have good bacteria and probiotics, which are so beneficial for your gut health. And let me stop right there, because I know that there is a lot, and I mean a lot of information out there about gut health. And honestly, it's for good reason. If I haven't learned anything in these last few years, especially last year, it's that we should all be prioritizing our gut health, which is a totally different episode. But for the purposes of this episode, I'll keep it simple and say, make an effort and be intentional and incorporate some fermented foods or drinks along with fiber in your first meal of the day. Like I was saying earlier, fermented foods, they're full of probiotics, which can help fill your gut with beneficial bacteria that allow your intestinal or your gut flora to thrive. Fermented foods can also provide other benefits such as antioxidant, antimicrobial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory activity. And let me tell you, those words were a tongue twister to say. In addition to all of that, some fermented foods have protein, fiber, vitamins, and minerals. Now, I can go on and on and on about fermented foods, but I won't, for two reasons. You don't have all day. And secondly, it's a tongue twister to say. So I'll stop here, because I know you get the point. But I did link an article below that I think will be of some interest to you. Now, I've mentioned in my last episode that I have been prioritizing getting my fiber in, and I've also been working on including some fermented foods as well. So for me, that means making breakfast salads, because it's a way for me to get a good serving of fruits and vegetables. And the key here is that I make the combinations that I like. For instance, I found a recipe for a blueberry salad that has green and yellow squash with some French onions, some mint, and I throw in some pistachios. And then I also make this lemon honey vinaigrette. And let me tell you, it is chef's kiss. When I say this salad is good, it is really, really good. And it's what I love to eat. And when I add all of the other macro and micronutrients that I need, it checks all of the boxes. Now, the takeaway here is not for you to go to make a breakfast salad, but I want you to think about that we don't always have to eat traditional breakfast foods as our first meal of the day. If you want to add some sauerkraut to your eggs and turkey and bacon to check your nutrient box, then I say by all means, go for it. We have to start thinking differently about our meals to ensure that we eat the foods that our body needs and that we enjoy eating. Now, I want to talk to my ladies who don't eat breakfast. This habit applies to you. I've worked with several people. I've talked to several friends. I know people who say, I don't eat breakfast. Now, technically, you do eat breakfast. Anything that you eat after not consuming food for several hours, which for many of us is when we wake up in the morning, is considered breaking your fast. Break fast, breakfast. So when you break your fast and eat, whether you call it breakfast or not, you're eating your first meal of the day. So again, I highly encourage you to make it nutrient dense, containing all the things I just talked about. If you want to make it a smoothie, then by all means do so. Just try to make sure it incorporates everything that you need or pair it with the elements that the smoothie may be missing. All right, so the fifth non-negotiable habit is give your gut a break. Yes, girl, give it a rest already. Give your gut some time to just be. Just like you should aim to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, your gut needs the same 7 to 9 hours plus some. So here's the breakdown of the fifth habit. Develop the habit of eating your last meal or snack of the day at least 2 hours before bedtime. Then extend the time you eat or fast for at least 10 hours before your first meal of the next day, which will essentially give you at least a 12-hour fast. Not eating or fasting based on your body's natural circadian rhythm will give your gut the rest that it needs to function optimally, and it also helps you to have a more restful night's sleep. Now, I know that this is the way that it normally goes down because life is life. So you get home from work or you end your work day or whatever that looks like for you, and you start your evening routine, which I know that it usually feels compressed in the evening. Now, that might include running an errand or texting or catching up with family members or friends. And then you'll run to dinner or you'll have dinner with some conversation or maybe watch your favorite TV show or social media. After that, you may clean up the dishes or whatever your evening includes. From there, you might do the old social media scroll, watch some Netflix, and maybe have a snack or two or three before you head to bed, which according to most studies is around 11:30 p.m. And if you're like most people, then you probably get up the next morning to start your day between 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., depending on if you have to commute somewhere or if you work from home, whatever the case may be. And somewhere in there, you have your first meal. So let's backtrack to the night before. Let's backtrack for a minute. Let's say that you had your last snack around 11:30 p.m. before you went to bed. Then you got up around 6:30 or 7 a.m. and you had breakfast somewhere between 7:30 and 9 a.m. So you've essentially only given your gut between a 7 or a 10-hour rest. And I know that for some of us, you might even go to bed later than that, and you may even snack up until the bedtime. And remember, we need to rest for at least 7 or 8 hours, and our gut needs to rest at least 12 hours. So let's say in an ideal scenario, you eat your last meal at 7 p.m. and you go to bed at 9 p.m. Before you turn me off, I said ideal. All right, so hang with me in an ideal situation. So you go to bed at 9 p.m. and then your first meal of the next day should be around 9 a.m. So essentially, you fasted for 14 hours because your last meal was 7 p.m. the previous day. Now again, I know that this is an ideal situation and many of us simply can't get in the bed by 9 p.m. or even eat at 9 a.m. the next day. But here's the point that I really want to convey. Your body needs rest and your gut needs rest too. So I want you to be uber intentional about the windows of time that you have and that you have control of. Make a concerted effort to have your last meal 1 to 2 hours before bed and try to extend the time by enough hours to give yourself at least a 10 to 12 hour fasting window. Circadian rhythm fasting, which is another form of intermittent fasting, can provide so many benefits, such as it helps to lower blood pressure and bad cholesterol, it helps to reduce insulin resistance, and it lowers levels of inflammation. And many people find that they have better sleep when they go to bed a few hours after their last meal, rather than snacking all the way up until bedtime. And on a personal note, I have found that I sleep so much better when I wait a few hours before going to bed after my last meal. So the moral of the story here is that fasting on your body's natural circadian rhythm will give your gut the rest that it needs to function optimally and also to help you to have a better night's sleep. All right, so the sixth non-negotiable habit. This one is simple. It is hydrate your body. Now, it seems simple, doesn't it? Because really it is, but surprisingly, it is one of the things that many of us are either all in or we're all out. We are either chugging water until we're about to float away, or water isn't even on the menu. Now, I remember there was a time before I became aware of the importance of drinking water that I never, and I mean never, drank water. It was always orange juice or some type of juice, and I mean juice that was loaded with sugar. Then I became a Diet Coke fanatic, and then I had a love affair with coffee. Now, I still love coffee, but coffee doesn't love me, and it's been a slow and painful breakup. But again, that's another story for another episode. Then I became educated on the importance of drinking water. And to take it a step further, I started competing and I became one of those people who carried a gallon jug of water around at work and at gym and all the places. Yes, she is me and I am her. Have you seen people carry jugs of water around, like gallon jugs? Now, there's no judgment because, again, I did it and my husband did it as well. I mean, we were all in, and those were the days. But anywho, at that time, I was really obsessed with how much water I drank. And to a degree, I had to be because I was competing. Now, that time has come and gone, and I don't drink a gallon of water a day, but I always make it a priority to drink at least half of my body weight in water, if not more. And you should too, for reasons that you probably already know. And I've also linked a really great article in the show notes on the benefits of drinking water. And I've talked about it in previous podcasts before. So I'm not going to go into all of the details. But when it comes to weight loss, like so many of the other things that I'm talking about in this series, drinking water is a foundational part of weight loss. Studies suggest that water can help with weight loss in a number of ways. It can help to suppress your appetite, boost your metabolism, and improve your performance in the gym. And the body needs water to burn fat. I've linked another article from Johns Hopkins University, and I'm going to tell you some of the words that I'm saying today are such tongue twisters, but I've linked another article that talks about the correlation between drinking water and weight loss. One of the things that I wanted to point out from the article is that staying hydrated helps the body run more efficiently, and it just helps us to feel better. All right, so how much water should you be drinking? You should make it a priority to drink at least 1 ounce of water per 2 pounds of body weight, or easily enough, half your body weight in water. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you should be drinking at least 75 ounces of water a day. And if you're working out and drinking things like coffee, then you probably should be drinking more. Now, of course, if you're barely drinking 1 to 2 glasses a day, take it slow and work your way up to what your body needs. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But here's a pro tip for you. If you struggle with drinking water, build it into your morning routine and make it one of the first things that you do. Find your favorite mug, your favorite glass, or a tumbler, and sit it out the night before in a place that you will see it. And for me, I have a 24-ounce tumbler that I fill it up when I go downstairs in the morning. My husband calls them adult sippy cups, but whatever, it works for me. And I start drinking it while I'm doing my morning devotional, and my goal is to finish it by the time I finish my workout. If I do that, then I'm well on my way to getting my daily water requirement for the day. So think about your morning routine, and if you're struggling with getting your water in, how can you work it into that the first things that you do in the day? How can you habit stack it with something else that you already do in the morning to ensure that it's front of mind and it's the first thing that you do and that you continue to do it throughout the day? Because what you don't want to do is start off during the day and then forget and then remember and then gulp down a large amount of water once you do remember. You want to start the day with drinking water and continue throughout the day. Again, is it your favorite mug to get you started? Can you set timers on your phone? When you scroll social media, can you take a sip? Can you do a sip and scroll? I don't know. Whatever it is, you want to try to make sure that you make it a part of your routine. All right, ladies, those were three more of the 10 non-negotiable habits you need to ensure you're implementing for your weight loss goals. As a recap, the fourth one was prioritize eating a nutrient-dense breakfast packed with protein, healthy fats, good sources of carbohydrates, and fiber and fermented foods. And the fifth one was give your gut a break, girl. Give it a break. Give it a break by implementing circadian rhythm fasting. And number six was hydration, hydration, hydration. Drink at least half of your body weight in water daily. All right, so in my next episode, I will close out the series and share the last four non-negotiable habits you need to ensure that you are implementing for your weight loss goals. And before I let you go, I want to share with you that I have one-on-one coaching spots if you need some additional support on your weight loss journey. If you want to not only implement the tools that I'm sharing with you, but you need support and a level of accountability, then book a call with me and we can talk about your goals. I'll partner with you to create a customized plan that will help you not only lose weight, but feel good while doing it. I'll give you the support that you need to help keep you on track, and most importantly, to help you build the knowledge and the confidence to know that you can do this. So check out the show notes if you want to schedule a call with me. All right, love, that is all, says the clock on the wall. Until the next episode, take the very best care of capital Y-O-U. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Healthy Habits 180 podcast. I hope you found a nugget of information that will help you on your health and wellness journey. And if you want more information on how to do a 180 on your habits, come back as I drop episodes weekly. Also, if you'd like to be supported by women on the same journey, please join my Facebook group by doing a search on Healthy Habits 180. I'll also link it down below in the show notes. In the Facebook group, you'll get daily encouragement, support, and tips on how to stay on top of your habits. I also run free challenges to keep you encouraged and motivated. Again, thanks so much, and until the next episode, peace and blessings to you.